question is, like, during this lifetime, or at this particular instant, I am here. I am here to learn about what soul is about.
Yeah.
So, is it something because of my previous birth, something about my previous life that went wrong, and today I have that inquisitive feeling to know something about that somebody told gentlemen to end the rebirth. So I'm trying to do in this lifetime because something went wrong in my previous birth, and I'm trying to make sure that I start doing those things.
Nice question. Shri Bhaktivinoda Swami explains this point. There are two reasons for it. One is definitely the previous life. Something, some spiritual activity has been done in the previous life or even in this life also, that has given the opportunity for you to pick up this. Like this brochure has gone into the hands of more than, say, 10,000 people. We have put 10,000 handouts, 1,000 brochures, and people doing so many things. So many. It came to you also. But one decided not to go, one you decided to come. The very decision for you are taken to come is because definitely there is something you have done in the previous that has given enough sukruti for you to decide that I should go. And the other reason is the association of a devotee. Association with a devotee means by luck or fortune, one gets in touch with a devotee. So because of the influence of the devotee, so that person inspires you to take up this course or learn about the soul, ask a question about the soul, understand what is life, what is Krishna consciousness. So these are the two reasons given. Something which has done in the previous life or the association devotee has enough power to create the sukruti in the person to be inquisitive. These are two reasons given in the scriptures. Okay, after that question, we'll go to the ladies.
Namaskar. Where the soul is the vital part of the body, why body is suffering, why not the soul?
Yeah.
In other words, what is that? What is the soul which is beyond all sufferings, which is not with the body?
Okay. This question can be answered when the concept of what is soul is understood. Now, till now we discussed about that soul exists. There's something called soul which is existing. What is the soul and what is the body? When that is understood, this question is very clear. So that will be more clear when we discuss the second half of our seminar. When we have this body, mind, intelligence. So in this way, there is something called soul. So your question, if you can keep it for the later part of the seminar, it will be nice. You can ask the question again. We'll give you a chance. Just a reminder thing. Then there is a clear distinction between the soul and the body. What is the nature of the soul, etc., etc. Then we'll take up that question too. So here.
Hare Krishna. Guruji, I want to ask about this distinction between matter and spirit. As a woman, you know, very often one hears women cannot be spiritual. This is a statement which is, I don't believe, but I would like you to throw some light from the Gita, because women are somewhere seem to be, because of the bearing of children and taking care of children and community life, seem to be somewhere too much into material existence. And then that is used again to deny them spirituality. So what does the Gita have to say specifically relating to spirit and spirituality of women?
So, So, woman cannot be spiritual. And you deny to believe that. Very good that you deny it. Because it is not true. Because whether woman or man, it is the body. The soul is not woman. The soul is not a man. The soul is not a child. The soul is not a dog. It is only the body. The soul is there in the dog's body. Sometimes a pig's body. Sometimes Brahma's body. Sometimes Indra's body. Sometimes woman's body. Sometimes child's body. Sometimes man's body. So spiritual life has got nothing to do with the bodies which we accrue. But now we have accrued some body, like a man's body or a woman's body. So when we do some spiritual activities, they have to be done through the senses. Through the senses, indriyas. So the senses of a man are different than the senses of a woman. The psychology of a man is different from the psychology of a woman. So when it comes to the duties, there is distinction. Like, say for example, Bhagavad Gita should be read by both man and woman. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the same for all. Krishna is the same for all. Doing Aarti is the same. So everything is same. But when it comes to the practical duties, there is distinction because there is distinction in bodies. Like Hanuman could serve Ram in a particular way because he had that kind of body. But everybody cannot do the way Hanuman did. So in the same way, according to one's nature, according to one's position, one has to serve the Lord. So bearing children is not a material activity. It is a spiritual activity, provided the understanding is spiritual. So if the children wouldn't have been born, then how can there be how can the child would get Krishna consciousness? You're stopping one soul from getting a human form of life. So a perfect Krishna conscious mother would think that I am giving an opportunity for soul to become Krishna conscious, and Krishna has given the service of taking care of the child so that he can be nicely nourished and become Krishna conscious. So that is that particular service for that lady. So, there are so many misunderstandings and misgivings about spiritual knowledge. That is why some people speak like this. Whereas Krishna clearly says, Striyo Vaishyastha Shudra Stepi Yanti Param Gatim. This is the verse in Bhagavad Gita. Yanti Param Gatim. They can achieve the complete highest destination by accepting this knowledge. Striya, Vaishyas and Shudras. All these people, those who are considered to be low class in the society. But Krishna says, they can achieve the perfection. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay? So we'll go to the second half of the course. Anybody has, any ladies had one question? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can we go to the animal life in the next life? That is your question.
I can come from also an animal body to a human body in this life.
Okay.
Can go into also an animal body.
Okay. So we'll be describing about this in detail on tomorrow, day after tomorrow. But since I don't want to keep you in anxiety for that. When the evolution takes place, the Vedic evolution talks like this. There are different levels of animal species. Gradually, the soul transmigrates from one animal body to another animal body. In this way, it goes up and up and up and reaches the body of a cow, and then it is the human life. And once we reach a human form of life, there we have the freedom to act. And depending on our karma in the human form of life, we take our next body. Next life can be human life. Next life can be higher than human life. Next life can be an animal life. And next life can be going back home, back to God, liberation. These four options are there. And now on the human platform, depending on our karma, we may fall down to any of the levels of the animal species. 84 lakh species are there. We can fall down. Once we fall down, then they step by step. And then reach the human life. Like that. Okay. Now, when you see a body of a person, when you see your friend, what is there in him? According to the Vedic scriptures, according to the Bhagavad Gita, there are 10 things in a person. What are those 10 things? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, soul and the super soul. These are the 10 things which constitutes a person. Anybody you meet, just look at yourself or your friend. These are the 10 things in that whole personality. So in these 10 things, there are two distinct categories. One is a spiritual category, the other is a material category. The spiritual body and the material body. And the spiritual body is made up of the soul and the super soul. These two elements. And the material body is made up of 8 things. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapunalo vayur khammano buddhireva chahankaramiti me bhinna prakrit rashtada. Ashtada means 8 elements. So these 8 elements constitutes this material body. And the 2 elements, the soul and the super soul, constitute the spiritual body. So these material elements, first we'll talk about the material elements. These 8 material elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. In these material elements, there are 2, again, distinctions, or 2 categories. One is the gross material body, other is the subtle material body. The gross material body is consisting of earth, water, fire, air, ether. That is the Pancha Mahabhutas. You must have heard about this. These Pancha Mahabhutas are like this. Prithvi, Jal, Agni, Vayu, Akash. That is earth, water, fire, air, ether. This is the gross material body. And the subtle material body is consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego. That is called Sukshma Sharira. One is a Stula Sharira. The other is a Sukshma Sharira. Now, this gross material body, which is made up of these 5 elements, can be compared to the hardware of the computer. Most of you, everybody knows computers. So there is something called hardware in the computer. There is something called the software, isn't it? So this hardware of the computer can be compared to the gross material body, which we can perceive, which you can see. That is what is called gross. And this subtle material body, which can be compared to the software of the computer. Now, to have a very clear understanding of this, you have this mind. Where is the mind? Can anybody say, where is your mind? But actually, what you say here, it is not the mind. What you break here, the skull, you find, it is the brain. It is not the mind. There is a distinct difference between the brain and the mind. As much as there is a distinct difference between the software of the computer and the hardware of the computer. Like you can have the measurement of the weight of the hardware of the computer. Can you have the measurement of weight of the software of the computer? How many kilos is the software? It doesn't work. How long is your software? It doesn't work. Because it is subtle, it is sukshma. In the same way, the brain can be measured. It is a gross thing, the gross body. And the mind cannot be measured by any of these, any of the gross equipments or gross measurement scale. Like when there is a incompatibility in measuring substances, like you cannot measure a liquid with a meter stick. In the same way, you cannot measure mind with some kilograms or so. Mind is subtle. Like the software of the computer, it controls the hardware of the computer. According to the software, only the hardware functions. In the same way, the mind actually controls the brain. There is a distinct difference between the mind and the brain. Like you have a psychiatrist. His psychiatrist deals with the mind, whereas a neurologist deals with the brain. There are 2 distinct departments in medical also. Suppose somebody is not behaving properly, he is behaving mad. First he is taken to a neurologist. He tests and says the brain is perfectly okay, no problem. Then what should be done? Go to a psychiatrist. So there is something called mind. To think the mind and the brain are same is illusion. Some modern science, there are some people even, they don't even accept the presence of mind. They say mind and brain are same. They don't accept anything subtle, sukshma. But there is definitely sukshma sharira. The modern science, it is just the understanding which they have about the body is just 2% of the gross body. The grossest part of the gross body, not even gross body. The modern medicine, they know about how much of the body, how much percent of the body. Hardly anything. They just don't even know how the airs in the body are functioning. The vayus are functioning. They just say some muscular movements are because of some muscles are there, something's happening, the blood is flowing and all these things. But actually, the Ayurveda says all our movements of the body are because of the vayus, because of the air. It describes that air is a thing which actually moves the body. It is the vayu which makes the movements. Now you find, what is the thing which is moving in this world? The air is moving. That means, whatever movements are done by the body is done by the vayu, is done by the wind. So wherever there is some vayu dosha, immediately you cannot move those places. Paralysis because of that. But the modern medicine doesn't have the understanding of the air. What to speak of ether? What to speak of? They have some understanding about the gross body, grossest part of the gross body, some earth. Earth is there within us in the form of flesh and all. And there is water is there. Actually, 70% of our body is water. Earth, water, fire is there. Our body temperature is more than the temperature, the ambient temperature. It's 37 degrees, our body temperature. And earth, water, fire, air, there are different airs. There are 10 kinds of airs mentioned in the Ayurveda, which actually make all the movements possible. Prana, apana, vayama, udana, samana. So all the movements are possible because of the air. And ether, all the sounds which we are emanating, speaking so much, it is because of the ether present in our body. So all these movements, all everything is happening because of these elements within our body. So, this earth, water, fire, air, ether, this gross body, and this subtle body that mind, intelligence, and false ego. Like as much as the software of the computer functions the hardware of the computer, in the same way, the mind, it actually controls the movements of the body. So the mind, beyond the mind there is intelligence. Because the subtle body is made up of mind, intelligence and false ego. So beyond the mind there is intelligence. What is the nature of the mind? The nature of the mind is to accept and reject. And it is always thinking, feeling and willing. These three activities are conducted within the mind. We think in the mind, we feel in the mind, and we will. I want to do it. It's all happening in the mind. And beyond that mind, there is intelligence. What is the nature of intelligence? The nature of the intelligence is vichakshana shakti. Vichakshana shakti means the capacity within us by which we can discriminate between good and bad, right and wrong, is called vichakshana shakti. Profitable, non-profitable, favorable, unfavorable. The power within us, the capacity within us by which we can discriminate things. That power or the capacity by which can discriminate is called intelligence. Now, beyond the intelligence, there is false ego. That is also subtle body. So this false ego is the subtlest element which makes us identify that I am so and so. Like sometimes when you're in deep sleep, it so happens when you get up, you don't know whether it's morning or evening. It happens sometimes when you're very tired. That is called deep sleep or dreamless sleep. Dreamless sleep means you just don't know how long you slept. What is the time? Where are you? Nothing. The moment you get up and you feel this, that is the time when you, that is the moment actually you had deep sleep. Many of the people even don't have this kind of sleep. It's very great fortune only you'll get that kind of sleep. Maybe many many months and maybe many years, you wouldn't have had such a sleep. Even that kind of sleep for even 1 hour can refresh you for, like, you can get all the energies back. The moment you get up, you don't even know what is the time. You don't even know who you are. So the moment you get up from the deep sleep, what is the thing which reminds you, oh, I'm the owner of the house, I'm this, I'm that. That is called false ego. My name is this. All these things are actually reminded by a particular faculty within you. That is called false ego. Every time you are thinking that I am this, I am so and so. Because you can do a particular activity when you identify. A student will only study when he thinks I am a student. A professor will only teach when he identifies that I am a professor. A manager will only manage when he identifies himself as a manager. So what is the thing within us which makes us identify in these capacities? That is called false ego. It is a very subtle thing. That is why it is very difficult to understand. But still, we have to accept that these are the 8 elements which constitute our material body. These 8 elements, the first five elements, they constitute the gross material body. The second set of 3 elements, they constitute the subtle body. So the subtle body, which can be compared to what? Software of the computer. And the gross body can be compared to the hardware of the computer. Now, you have a computer with both hardware and software very perfectly done. The computer will run? Not run. What do you require for it? Electricity is required, isn't it? You have to switch on the current. Electricity is required. So what is the electricity which flows through this body, which makes the software control the hardware, or the mind or the subtle body control the gross body? The electricity is the consciousness, and the plug point can be compared to the soul. So it is a soul which is emanating consciousness, which is pervading throughout the body and giving energy to the subtle body, by which the subtle body is making the gross body function. So just see how technically the whole body is nicely arranged. Krishna says, yantra rudhani mayaya. He compares this body to be a machine. And these days, machine means computer. So Krishna has already said this body is like a machine. Machine cannot function without any logic. This is how the whole logic is there. There is soul, which is actually the source of electricity, called consciousness, which is producing, which is pervading throughout the body and making all the bodily functions possible. And where is the electricity coming to the plug point? From the super soul. Plug point is the soul, and the soul is receiving, or is part and parcel of the super soul. So there is a big generator, there is a plug point, there is consciousness, electricity, the software, there's the hardware, whole computer unit is there. In the same way, there is super soul, there is subtle body and gross body. There are some people who have a very great misunderstanding between the soul and the super soul. They say soul and super soul are same. Atma hi paramatma hai, paramatma hi atma hai. It is a wrong concept. There is a distinct difference between the soul and the super soul. The super soul and the soul, both are spiritual. But still, there is a distinction. As much as the plug point is also having electricity and the generator is also having electricity, but generator is the source of all electricity. In the same way, the super soul is a source for the soul. So there is a distinct difference in the soul and the super soul. And the soul and the mind. There are some people who say mind and soul are same. They are the modern Western philosophers. That is where we just commented in the soul searching. So those people who talk about soul searching, they are talking not about the real spiritual soul, which we are talking now. They are talking about some kind of mind. They think the subtle body is a soul. They think the mind and the soul are the same. The Buddhist philosophers, they also have this understanding, mind and the soul are the same. No. There is a distinct difference between the soul and the mind. Mind is material and soul is spiritual. And ultimately there is a confusion among some so-called medical people. They think the mind and the brain are the same. No. Mind and the brain are distinct difference as much as a distinct difference between the subtle body and the software of the computer and the hardware of the computer. So we have three distinctions. One, the body-mind distinction, the brain-mind distinction. Number two, mind and soul distinction. Number three, the soul and super soul distinction. So if somebody has this perfect understanding, he will never be confused. And whatever we discussed just now, it seems to be a little bit complicated, but we'll try to simplify this. When you have the understanding of what happens at the time of death, it is very clear what all we discussed just now. There's something which we have to face, everybody has to face. You just cannot avoid it. What is that? It is death. What happens at the time of death? What happens at the time of death is the soul leaves the gross body and enters another body. That is called death. When the soul leaves the gross body, it doesn't leave alone. Along with the soul, the subtle body, which is made up of mind, intelligence, false ego, also lives. Actually, the mind, intelligence and false ego, the subtle body, encages the soul or covers the soul and it goes out of the gross body. And who is taking the soul out of this gross body? It is a super soul. So super soul also goes along the soul along with the subtle body. So all of them have left. What is left down here is what? Only the gross body. So now we are very clear about what is gross body. When you see the dead body, a person dies, what is lying there is the gross body. The subtle body left along with the soul. That is why whatever we have done in this life, everything what we see, what we hear, everything has an impression in the mind. And that impression is called memory or it is called sanskar. So because the subtle body is being carried to the next life, whatever we have seen or heard, whatever sanskar we have gathered in this life is carried to the next life along with the subtle body. That is why the remembrance are there in the next body also, in the next life also. That is why the remembrance are there. Because the subtle body which I have now is nothing but of the subtle body which I had in the previous life. Because that the soul brought the subtle body also to this life. To give you a small proof, it is like this. You have some small children who are like, by birth itself, they're very peaceful, very calm. You say something, they do it. Very good behavior. But there are some people who are like, you just say something, exactly they do the opposite. And they are having all kinds of mischievous behavior. They cannot be peaceful, envious, very getting angry for no reason. Why so? One child is like that, the other child is like this. Why? In the previous life, that good child had good sanskars and the bad child had bad sanskars. That is a simple reason. Whatever the impressions were there in the previous life, they are carried forward to this life. So now we have a very clear understanding of the gross body which is left over at the time of death, the subtle body which encases the soul and takes to the next body. And the Paramatma, the super soul who manages the whole transaction. Now, we'll discuss about one important aspect for today. That is the science of soul should involve. What is this soul all about? You're just beating around the bush talking about the five kinds of proof of existence of the soul. Talking about this body, mind, intelligence and all these things. But what actually the soul is all about? Now we will discuss about the qualities of the soul. the first and the foremost quality of the soul is it is eternal. It is sanatana. You must heard about Satchitananda. Satchitananda. You must have heard this word. But actually this word is made up of Sat, Chit and Ananda. And this word Sat actually comes from the word Sanatana. Sanatana means eternal. Eternal means something which neither has birth nor death. So the first and foremost quality of the soul is it neither has birth nor death. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Na jayate mriyate va kajat kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vanaha vana bhuyaha ajo nitya shashvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. So Krishna says, Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. The soul, na jayate, it never takes birth. The soul, na mriyate, doesn't die. Kadachit, it never happens. The soul neither has taken birth nor will die. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit, nayam bhutva, nor it happened in the past like this. Na bhavita, nor it's going to happen in the future. Vana bhuyaha, nor it's happening now. It is aja, it is unborn. Nityaha, it is eternal. Shashvatoyam, it is again permanent. Purano, it is the oldest. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire, when the body dies, the soul never dies. So at the time of death, what is dying is not the soul, it is the body. And we are not this body, we are soul. So at the time of death, it is not me who is dying, it is my body which is dying. Will he be afraid of death? He will not be afraid of death. Because, okay, I am not this body. But body is dying. I am eternal. He just leaves the body without any problem at all. It is this misunderstanding of the ignorance, thinking that I am this body. Oh, then all the things which I have done with the body, everything is being lost. Nothing is being lost. You are going, that's all. Like Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, like you give up the old garments, when your shirt gets torn off, becomes old, what will you do with that shirt? You give it up and then take a new shirt. When you get a new shirt, definitely you'll be happy. The same way, this body has become old now, become useless. So you give up this body and get a new body. This is called death. So why one should be afraid of it? Just see. The most horrible event which can happen in anybody's life, death, that becomes so simple. Just with one verse of Bhagavad Gita. We are talking about, you know, that, this, problem solving. The biggest problem called death is solved in one verse of Bhagavad Gita. So, na jayate mriyate va kadachit, the soul, first quality of the soul, it is eternal. It is sanatana. The second quality of the soul is what? That is chit. It is chinmaya. It is conscious. We are able to experience all kinds of emotions or pleasure and pain. It is all because of the presence of the soul. It makes us feel. This is the second. It is knowledgeable. It is chinmaya. This is the second quality of the soul. The third quality of the soul is what? That it is anandamaya. Anandamayobhyasat. The soul is anandamaya. It is blissful in nature. Now in this world, everybody is trying to become happy. We are all trying to become happy. Happiness there, happiness there, happiness here. But we forget, the store of the happiness is a soul which is there within us. Like there is one Kasturi Mruga. There is one deer, musk deer we say it. But the real musk deer, not the duplicate things which are available. It's called Kasturi Mruga. This Kasturi Mruga, from its body, nice, wonderful fragrance comes. Beautiful smell comes out of its body. And this Kasturi Mruga doesn't know where it is coming from. Oh, it is thinking, oh, it's coming from there. So let me run. So it starts running. When it runs, because of sweat and all, the deer, it emanates more fragrance. The more fragrance comes, it thinks, okay, I'm going to near, just I'm achieving this. It runs faster. But this foolish deer doesn't know that the fragrance is coming from its own body, its own self. It runs and runs and runs and doesn't find where the fragrance is coming from and dies. In the same way, in our whole of our life, we are thinking, my happiness is there in that movie. My happiness is kept in that place, in that restaurant, in this place, that place, this place. We are just running around foolishly, without understanding the happiness is within ourselves. Many a times it so happens, we are searching for a wristwatch. We are searched everywhere in the house and then say, oh, where did I keep the wristwatch? And you find it is there in your hand. That is called foolishness. We are going around so many places thinking, where will I get happiness? We are buying, going to the market, going to the malls and thinking, if I get this, I'll become happy. If I get that, I'll become happy. Oh, let me buy this. Where do you get this thing? We're just dumping on all so many things, thinking these are the things which are source of happiness. No, it is me who is in the body. The soul, that is the source. It is Anandamaya. Another quality of the soul, it is 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. Actually, the measurement of the soul is just given to show that it is immeasurable. You cannot measure 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. So in the same way, the soul cannot be measured by any material means because it is spiritual. The soul, the fifth quality is the soul stays in the region of the heart. The sixth is it transmigrates from one body to another body. In this way, there are a few qualities of the soul. Now, the biggest problem in this world is that we don't have the understanding that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. We are trying to solve so many problems in our life, but we have never tried to solve the problem of this ignorance, of lack of understanding of soul. We are trying to know so many things. We are trying to study about so many things, science, physics, chemistry. If you don't, if the child doesn't get good marks in mathematics, if he doesn't have understanding of mathematics, you get angry on him. But when he doesn't have understanding of the soul, we never become angry. No problem. That is okay. That is all old age. But the real problem is that we don't have understanding of the soul. It is because of our attachment to body and matter we are suffering in this world. And we forget our real suffering. There's one person who was very, very much attached to buy one Benz car. But he was very poor. Not so poor, a middle class person. He was earning 15,000-20,000 rupees a month. But he had a desire. Somehow I want to buy this car which is worth 40 lakh rupees. So he worked very hard for about 10 years, collected each and every penny. And one day when he got the money, so he went to the shop and gave the money. Got the car. Just imagine, so many years of dream got fulfilled today. He got into the car, he started driving, so happy. And while he was driving on the highway, a truck came and bashed him. And he was like, so annoyed, so angry, he came down out of the car and then started shouting in the truck wala, you rascal, you did this thing, you spoiled my car, you are that, I'm going to take you to the police station, I'm going to beat you up. The truck wala told him, sir, all these things are later, please get into my truck is okay, let me take you to the hospital. This person says, why hospital, I'll go to the police station. He says, please, sir, you come along with me to the hospital. Later on, everything will be solved. No, 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 you have spoiled my car. I'll take you to the police station. Then he says, please come to the hospital. Now you're supposed to go to the hospital. Then this person says, why you should go to the hospital? Then the truck wala says, just look at your hand. Then this person saw the hand was cut off. And this part, they don't know where it went. Was flown somewhere. It is not at all to be found. And the blood was flowing down.
And he saw his hand. And I started looking in angry face to the truck wall and told, I'm going to kill you. You see, I lost my wristwatch also. Jesse, what can you tell such a person? His hand is cut off. Blood is bleeding. For him, he has lost the car. I lost my watch. He feels these are the problems. The real problem is your hand is cut off. You're going to die one day. We find, oh, I don't have proper house to stay. I don't have, oh, this much of money. I don't have a good wife. I don't have a good husband. We think these are the problems. But these are not the problems. The real problem is, till now I don't have any understanding of Bhagavad Gita. 40 years of life have gone. 60 years have gone. No knowledge about the soul. That is the problem. When you understand the real problem, that is a solution of all the other problems. Like, say for example, there is a child. He is crying, oh, India lost the cricket match, or hey, he did that thing. So many things he is crying for. But somebody comes and says, oh, next week your exams are starting. As soon as he knows the next week exams are starting, he will not try for the cricket match. He did that, he did. Immediately starts studying. Because he knows the real problem is the exams are starting. I have not studied anything. So what is the solution for all the petty problems? Understanding what is the real problem. The solution for all our petty problems in our life is just to understand that there is some real problem. That is, till now I have not got self-realization. I have to do something for it. I have to contemplate on the soul. Contemplate on the knowledge of the soul. That is the real solution to all the problems. It is our attachment to our body and body-related things which makes us suffer in this world. Just this one line which Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. Understanding of this one concept, that is enough to solve the problems of the whole world. You name a problem, it has got its solution in this one line. I am not this body, I am soul. The caste problem, it is solved immediately when you understand I am not this body, because the soul is neither Hindu nor Muslim nor anything. The color problem, the apartheid, everything can be solved in one stroke, because the soul is neither black nor white, it is the body. You name so much of economic problem, it is all because of what? It is the greed of few people. And the greed is there because they think they are bodies. And I want to enjoy my body. So they are accumulating more and more so that they can enjoy this body. Once they have the understanding that I am not this body, so nobody can be happy just by taking care of the body. That is why you find there are so many people who have more than enough for 10 generations to keep their body happy. But still they are frustrated in their life. They are committing suicide. Why? Because the soul is not satisfied. By taking care of the body, we are decorating the body. We spend so much of time in decorating the body. But we don't even spend few minutes to take care of the soul. Eternal soul. That is why Jesus says in the Bible, what profit the man if he gains the whole world but loses the eternal soul? The example is given that of a cage, golden cage. You are decorating, painting and doing so many things, polishing the cage, but the bird is not being fed, which is in the cage. We are doing our best for the body. We go to the beauty parlors, we go to do so many exercises, we do so much of dieting so that my body can be fit. But what about the soul? That is why in spite of all the endeavors to keep our body happy, we are not happy.
Because the soul is not taken care of. That is why it's very important for all of us to understand that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. This is the first lesson which Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. The lesson number one is this. So we stop here for today. So any questions? We can just take one or two questions before we do the aarti. Yeah.
Like we are on earth, we can only talk of earth. And if earth thousands of years ago, there are only not even animals and no living beings, where were the souls then?
Okay. Nice question. So thousands of years ago, there are no living beings. This is a wrong understanding. So modern science which talks about this. But actually, the real history of creation is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, where the process of creation has been described. So, the souls are eternal. Before the creation, all the souls were in the stomach of Mahavishnu. So when the creation starts, this creation is an opportunity for all the souls to purify themselves and attain liberation. This creation is an opportunity for that. So all the souls who are envious of the Lord, who wanted to enjoy and control independently, they were all put into this material world at the same time, at the time of creation. From then, they are all going, taking a big cycle in different bodies. This chakra is going on. Sansar chakra is going on. The understanding that, you know, 2000 years back, there was no life and one life came from another life, one life form in this way, population increased. It's a wrong understanding. So generally, the question is asked about the increase of population. This increase of population is talking about humans now. What about those so many animals where the species are decrease in population? Isn't it? So there is always transfer of the souls from one kind of body to another kind of body. So just say for example, in our body, there are so many germs or so many bacteria. If they all tomorrow, first example, for the argument's sake, they all become human beings, there would be another, you know, Vasant Vihar. This is just another Vasant Vihar. So many are there. So this increase of population, when we talk about, is just talking about human population. And the number of souls, actually it is unlimited. It is uncountable. And the world within our experience is very limited. We cannot imagine the extent of the material universe itself. There are so many Brahmandas like this, so many Lokas like this, so many unlimited, infinite souls. What you see is only just one part called Earth, Bhugola. There is boom, boom. There are so many earthly planets invisible to thee. And there is Bhumandala. And like that there are 14 planetary systems. And like that, there are so many Brahmandas. All the descriptions are nicely given in Srimad Bhagavatam about the creation and all. When you hear them, then you find the modern science explanation of the creation and all, it is like a fairy tale.
I happen to read The Philosophy of Advaita, written by Adi Shankaracharya. Now, there seems some conflict between what is propounded there in Advaita and what is read in Bhagavad Gita as it is. What is told in Advaita is that there is no distinction between Jivatma and Paramatma, which means that the God is residing in you.
Mm.
And whereas this philosophy says that there is a distinction between you that is the spirit and the God. Now, is this a real two school of thoughts, or is there a flaw in my understanding?
Yeah. Your understanding is correct, that there is one school of thought called Advaita by Sripad Shankaracharya, who says Jiveshwaravada. Jiva is Ishvara. And there is a school of thought called Dvaita by Sripad Madhvacharya, says Beda, Jiva Jiva Beda, Jivishwara Beda, and Jiva Jada Beda, Ishvara Jada Beda, all these things are there. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and harmonized the seeming contradiction. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that when the non-distinction unity has been spoken, it is spoken from the spiritual point of view, on the qualities of the soul and the super soul. So there is no distinction in the quality. The soul is also spiritual, and the super soul is also spiritual. So whenever the scriptures are talking about the non-distinction, they are talking about the qualitative non-distinction, not the quantitative. So when the distinction is spoken, the distinction is spoken on the quantitative level, not the qualitative level. So when Sripad Shankaracharya, he emphasizes on the qualitative non-distinction. Sripad Madhvacharya, he emphasizes on the quantitative non-distinction, or the distinction, quantitative distinction. So that is to be understood. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are perfectly harmonized. And it is a very elaborate subject matter, which we will discuss sometime else in our weekly satsang programs. But we have to understand, when Acharya speaks something, there is a purpose behind it. And it is we who got to have a perfect understanding. And that is why Srila Prabhupada asked the same question in Hyderabad when he was giving a lecture. You are against Shankaracharya's philosophy. And when somebody came in and started telling, oh, then Prabhupada told, you are the person who was addressing Shankaracharya. But whenever I spoke in my lecture, I always addressed him as Sripada Shankaracharya. So he answered like this, and then whole audience were peaceful. Last question.
Guruji, I'm a little confused coming back to my previous question, linking it to this one.
Yeah.
As you say, it's your body that, you know, the understanding that it's different from soul. And when you get that understanding, that's one of the steps towards liberation. But I don't think anyone sitting over here, the problem is not to give up the body. The problem is that, as we said, the soul emancipates those emotions and you get detached with other souls which are still living with you. So whether it's a father with a son, etc. So it's easy to leave the body, but how do you start detaching yourself from emotions and connections with the other living beings? I think that's a more challenging and more profound understanding, if you could throw light on that, please.
Yeah. Definitely, the nature of the soul is to be attached. When the attachment is there, emotions are manifest. Like you see your son, then naturally emotions come. Why? Because you're attached. You see somebody else's son, emotions don't come. Why? Because you're not attached. So, you're talking about detachment, isn't it? So, when you're attached to material things, then material emotions come. When you're attached to spiritual things, spiritual emotions come. So, if you want to get attached to something, you should have emotions. So, if you want to get detached from material things, the only way is to get attached to spiritual things. Because you cannot give up the tendency to be attached. Attachment is the nature of the soul. Now, when you apply your nature of attachment to spiritual things, naturally spiritual emotions manifest. And material emotions decrease, and material attachments also decrease. Like, the example is given that of a child playing with a knife. Very dangerous. Child is attached to the knife, playing. If the mother says, oh, you're playing with the knife, give it, and then pulls the knife, what happens? It's cut. Intelligent mother, what she does? Oh, take this nice, wonderful doll. And the child gives up the knife. So trying to make a person artificially detached from material emotions without actually giving spiritual emotions, then it is like a dry renunciation. Definitely he will get frustrated and again come back to the material platform. So naturally when the spiritual emotions increase, when the love for Krishna increases, then naturally love for matter automatically decreases. That is the way. Okay, we stop here. So thank you very much. Tomorrow, please do come on time. And then we'll be discussing about God, the proof of existence of God.